Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Welcome, everyone. This is Jason Searle, and on behalf of Capon's Men, we thank you for joining us in the Foxhole. Our men's faith formation groups follow the example of Servant of God, Father Emil Capon, a priest from Kansas who lived the gospel in a simple daily life, all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields and prisoner of war camp in Korea, where he eventually died at the hands of his captors. Although Father Capon was ordered to safety during the Battle of Insan, his response to accompany his men during the battle that ensued and their subsequent capture resulted in Father Capon becoming the most highly decorated chaplain in United States Army history. His faithful service to our Lord and unwavering commitment to courageously inspire all those around him was an example we'd all like to emulate. The Foxhole has been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, families, and their faith circles. We explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing the simple things in extraordinary ways. This week, we're honored to have Joshua Miller. He's co-author with Luke Burgess of Unrepeatable, Cultivating the Unique Calling of Every Person. They also founded Inscape, an organization devoted to cultivating the unique calling of every person. Through Inscape, Joshua offers training, speaking, and workshops related to cultivating a culture of personal vocation. He holds a MA and a PhD in philosophy of the human person. And with that, he loves working in a college setting with young adults. He helped build the Center for Leadership at Franciscan University of Steubenville, where he currently serves as a vocation coach for students and a vocation coach trainer for faculty and staff of the institution. He's a leader in the field of narrative-based motivational assessment and a master practitioner of the system for identifying motivated abilities. For the last 18 years, he's applied his expertise in a variety of applications, including executive coach, organizational development, talent management, and coaching. He's co-developer of M-Code, the first online assessment that blends a person's own achievement stories with the established psychometric constructs. He regularly offers M-Code training and certification workshops. Joshua and his wife, Brooke, are joyful Catholics. They have 6 wonderful children, and they live in Steubenville, Ohio, where he's joining us today. Joe's going to lead us with a prayer, and with this, it's an honor to introduce and welcome Joshua and Joe. Welcome, brothers, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
Thank you, Jason, and thank you to anyone who's logging in right now, who's downloaded the podcast, who took a little bit of their time, that most precious thing in their life, one of the most precious things in their life, and used that to be encouraged through the intercession of Father Capon. Before I pray, I want to just give you a scripture that I've been thinking about a lot. And it was a communion antiphon at Mass recently, and it's Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4. And it says, say to the fearful of heart, be strong, do not fear. Say to the fearful of heart, be strong, do not fear. You know, as we as a church and as a country and as a world launch into 2021, I think that the fearful of heart in pandemics and in political craziness and maybe violence even in some of our towns and neighborhoods, I would say it's time for us to be strong, to be stronger in our faith, to be stronger in our hope, and to be stronger in our love. So that's the angle I'm going to pray with you today. And so I'll open with, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, I love you. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just launch into 2021 from a place of strength. I pray, Lord, that anyone listening right now who has been fearful of heart, who has struggled in their faith, and that you fill them with your Spirit now, a Spirit of strength. I pray, God, for those that have been fearful of heart in losing hope and given into despair, I just pray that right now, Lord, you fill them with hope, an expectant faith, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you just fill them with that love. I pray, God, for those that being quarantined in their homes have struggled with the virtue of love. And I pray, God, that you just give them the opportunity to see 2021 as an opportunity for us to be stronger in the way we love each other, love our neighbor, love the folks that agree with us, and love those that don't agree with us. I ask you, God, to fill Joshua Miller and his family with your love, with your faith, and with your hope. And through the intercession of Father Capon, God, I just pray for our conversation today, that you direct the conversation and that you give us the words that whoever downloads this podcast needs to hear. I ask all of these things through the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, Joshua Miller, that is the longest intro, I think, in the history of Capon's Men podcast, The Foxhole. So welcome to The Foxhole, my friend. Are you out there?
I am out here, and I was buoyed up by that verse from Isaiah 35:4. It's a great word of the Lord. Glad to be with you.
Well, it is an honor to be with you. We are old friends without even knowing it so much. I lived not far from you, and we talked early on about the neighborhood, and our children were a lot younger in those days. But I'd love to start our conversation just around your, we called it missions, the three-minute testimony or the elevator testimony. But tell us a little bit, Joshua, about how you came to faith and how your faith has kind of grown and been cultivated in Steubenville.
Well, I grew up as an evangelical Protestant, very grateful for the love of Jesus that my parents had. But when I became a Catholic, it was at University of Wisconsin-Madison when I was in college. I wanted to be involved in the pro-life movement. My parents had been involved in the pro-life movement. So as soon as I started college in 1990 at Madison, Wisconsin, I wanted to do pro-life work. And I met Catholics for the first time then, and eventually became Catholic in January of 1994. And just fell in love with our Catholic faith. So that was the beginning of that part of the journey. But another really important part of the journey is that I come from a family of persons deeply interested in how God creates us uniquely for his good work. And in 1998, you know, I'd been a Catholic for a few years. I wanted to take my family's work further, but I wanted to understand whether it was Catholic or not. I was worried that it was too individualistic, as had been part of my Protestant background, lacking the communal nature of the church. And so, as a fairly young Catholic, I moved my wife and my little son at the time to Steubenville, Ohio, to study with the personalist philosophers here so I could understand the work I was doing with my family according to Catholic teaching. So our faith has been nurtured here in Steubenville. Well, I guess since about 2000, about 20 years.
Yeah, I think we would both, City of Murals, home of Dean Martin. There's a lot of great things in Steubenville, not just that Francis University, which is pretty darn great, I would say, out of the box.
That's right.
Catholics, certainly a lighthouse in the United States, Church of the United States. A lot of the work you've been doing, Joshua, has been centered around kind of helping the young adults who come to school there to figure out, reveal sort of their vocation, and even nurture it before they launch out of college. So can you tell us a little bit about how that Leadership Institute was set up and then how you've been doing it? Because I'm sure there are folks interested in that.
Yeah. When I became Catholic, I read the work of John Paul II, and he is a strong proponent of each unique person being a way of the church, which he says in his first encyclical. And I have been compelled for a while to really emphasize that part of church teaching. So David Schmiesing, the VP of Student Life at Franciscan University, also is very convicted that we need to cultivate personal vocation. So he had this wonderful brainchild about 10 years ago to build a center for leadership that would emphasize the need for young Catholics to understand who they could be as leaders and how they can help sanctify the culture. David, knowing my work around personal vocation, asked me to build the first semester program called Personal Vocation and Christ-Centered Leadership. So what we don't want to do is simply train our students at Franciscan that there's a kind of one-size-fits-all notion of leadership that we all have to conform to. Of course, there are really critical principles, but what we wanted them to understand and what we hope we're cultivating is this truth that we are all called to be persons of influence and leaders in that sense of influence, but it's got to be done authentically, and people have got to understand how God has uniquely designed them and how they can leverage that and cultivate it so that they can be the sort of leader that he's called them particularly to be, so that they can flourish in those gifts for the sake of the body of the church, for the sake of helping to bring Catholic values to the world around them.
For sure. I would say person of influence and uniqueness. It's kind of exciting to hear you use those kind of that language around that important time in a young adult's life. Mm-hmm. Is this connected as well, Joshua, to the work you've done in Unrepeatable? And is that, I know I have the book and love it. So tell me a little bit about, maybe summarize that or talk a little bit about some of the key things that folks could know about that idea of being unrepeatable in their life.
Yeah, thank you. So my co-author, Luke Burgess, was an entrepreneur for years and came back to the Catholic faith very strongly several years ago and went into seminary. And in seminary, as he would say, he encountered sort of the best and worst of vocational discernment. The best of it was focused upon who he is as a unique person and what God's speaking in his life in particular. So listening to him, attending to him, helping him to understand who God had made him to be. The worst of it focused upon a push for him to just enter into the state in life of priest without really understanding him as a unique person. So from his angle of being seminarian, he really is convicted that as a church we've got to cultivate personal vocation and to move away from emphasizing just a vocation as a state in life. We're all called to different states in life. We've got to do that as unique persons. And from my own standpoint as a Catholic layman, I have experienced a great deal of focus in the church on the great need for us to cultivate priests and religious, but a real lack of focus upon the vocation of the laity, a lack of focus upon what we need to do to sanctify the world as laypersons, but this truth that the church teaches that each is called by God by name to a specific calling, which is real and dynamic, and it includes our state in life, but it's not reduced to that. Well, the church teaches about personal vocation, this unique, unrepeatable call by name, but it doesn't really cultivate it very well. And so it's very possible for a person to go through 4 years of college and to get a major and get a degree and get $50,000 in debt, but never to really be understood or known as cultivated as a unique person with a unique calling. And St. John Paul II believed very much that it's vital for renewal in the church for us to love each unique, unrepeatable person and to cultivate each one's unique calling. And we just don't do that enough as a Catholic body. Yeah, either in our schools, our diocese, our parishes, and it's a source of great loss. So both Luke and I, from different angles, are absolutely convicted that we must begin to build a culture where each one in their unique calling can be cultivated. And so that's the heart and the real passion we both have on why we wrote Unrepeatable.
Joshua, I feel like we should stop the podcast and just let folks let that marinate, what you just said, because that was like a philosopher talking right there, and I know that's what you are. So it's kind of cool to let it sit in my heart and hear what it kind of feel, what it wells up. And I'm reminded of something you said to me maybe a week ago when you said the two reasons, Joe, that people leave the church, young people leave the church. I think you said it was because they're not known by name and
yes,
they
sir.
Don't belong. Yeah. Is that correct from the study?
Absolutely.
I think.
There's a study done by the CARA Institute, the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate, called Going, Going, Gone. And it's a study of why young people are leaving the church in droves. I've heard 60, 70, 80% of high school students, you know, who graduate Catholic and are confirmed leave. And the two reasons are exactly as you said. because they don't feel like they're known by name, loved by name, and that they don't belong in their Catholic parishes and Catholic communities.
So that might be the answer. If you're a pastor listening to this and you're struggling and you're wondering what to do, Joshua's just given us two pretty simple things, but are probably pretty complex in pulling them off, and that's
right.
Know folks by name and allow people to belong. I'm going to move away from the church a little bit because your body of work is so great. I want to talk a little bit about this book, The Motivation Code, which I've read and have been given out to folks quite a bit recently. It's been hugely successful, I think, in a secular world to start a conversation around motivation and motivation for your employees and your business. And there are a lot of business folks that listen to this. And I'd love it if you would just chat with our audience a little bit about what M-Code is, how it's working, how it's being used by businesses and individuals to really use motivation in a positive way in our world.
When people share stories of activity that they've really deeply enjoyed doing and believe they've done well, there is a kind of soul's code that is revealed in that. You know, just as God gave us unique fingerprints, it stands to reason that he would shape our souls in specific and beautiful ways also. And we come to understand some of that shape of soul, we call it a motivational code, by listening to these stories. So when folks share what's been deeply fulfilling that they believe they've done well, going back as early as they can remember, you know, maybe it's 5 years old in the sandbox, maybe it's building a tree fort, maybe it's, you know, playing paintball, there's a real distinct pattern of motivated behavior, intrinsic motivated behavior in all of those stories, revealed by those stories. And our experience, you know, over several decades of consulting is that not a lot of people take the time to share those stories or think about those stories. So M-Code, or Motivation Code, it's based upon this presumption that each one is uniquely motivated and that we can get at that pattern of motivation by exploring deeply fulfilling achievement stories. So that's the basis, is exploring a narrative that a person has of deeply fulfilling activities, and then helping them to identify what are the consistent recurring themes of motivation. These themes of motivation drive talent and strength. At a natural level, they provide a reason for why we do what we do, why we want to get up in the morning, what we're drawn to, the kind of team membership we want to have. And it's very, very vital for folks in their professional lives, in their business lives, to understand that. Of course, it carries beyond business to what we do in our families and in our teams and in our communities and non-for-profit activities as well. But we have pitched and developed M-Code for a general business audience. And it's doing well there because we're helping people tap into innate patterns of motivation and helping managers and leaders do the same as well for those that they're responsible for.
So, Joshua, how would someone who's hearing about this for the first time, like, is there a way they could use the positive benefits of that research right now? Like, if they hit pause on the podcast, would you encourage them, hey, sit down and look back at some of your achievement narratives?
Absolutely. It's actually, it's, yes. I'm sorry, I cut you off, Joe.
No, you were great. No, it's exciting. So tell them how to do it. Give them a little heads up on that. That'd be great. I like it when people have an actionable thing they can actually do.
Oh, it's so actionable. Well, the first thing is I'm asking this directly to your audience. How often, dear audience members, have you been asked to reflect deeply about activities that you've really enjoyed doing and believe you've done well? And how often in conversation with your friends, your spouses, your kids, have you taken time to ask them those questions? In my experience, it's not very typical. And so one of the things that we can do, it's quite easy and quite wonderful, is simply this. Ask a loved one or ask somebody you're responsible for leading or managing to think back on their lives, on three stories of activities they deeply enjoy doing, believe they've done well. This could be from any sphere of activity, any time of life. Doesn't have to be a contemporary success. Doesn't have to be 4.0. Doesn't have to be gold stars or other standards of contemporary success. But did you love doing it and thought you'd do it pretty well? After those persons think of those stories, then what you should do is just say, tell me what you did. And then listen without interruption. Just tell me what you did. What did you do? Give your action. Put color on that action. And then ask that person, what did you really deeply enjoy about that? And then finally, what I'd like you to do is simply share what you noticed about that person as they were sharing their story. Where did their eyes light up? Where did their energy go? What did they tell you about? And then what you're doing is you're shining a mirror of empathic concern to that person, and you're letting that person know that you heard them. And you didn't just hear them talk about the Steelers or the NFL game on Sunday, but you heard them talk about something that was deeply, personally fulfilling for them. And you listened. And you're reflecting what you noticed. Because what we desperately need in this culture is people to listen to us and affirm us in our uniqueness. And that sort of exercise is quite powerful. And it's based upon the best in positive psychology, and I think attentive concern for one another, which is what Jesus does for us. He loves us by name, not as a concept or as a unit or as an example of a socioeconomic group, but persons by name. And we have to begin doing that to one another. And the story exercise is a very simple, powerful way to do that.
Yeah, it almost, I would almost venture to say, Joshua, based on what you said a few minutes ago, which is people leave the church, young people in particular, but I would think everyone that doesn't feel like they're known by name or they belong is going to walk away at some point. And this, what you've given is not just a business answer, it's an answer for the church, right? To enter back into listening and storytelling. I will tell you, though, you kind of lost me with the Steelers comment. As a Bengals fan, I sort of stepped back at that point. But I'm going to enter back in because I like you and I like what you're doing, and I love story. So I would say to you, taking that and going a little further, you have done a tremendous amount of academic research in the university world and just in the world in general. And there are a lot of fathers and grandfathers who listen to this. Who would say, hey, this is good stuff. This guy has six kids. How can I, not only for myself and my relationship with my family and my parish, but how can I tonight around my table really do more? Like, what advice would you give them based on all this? And you're seeing a lot of young adults, too, so you're getting kind of a view behind the picture. So talk to them about what young people maybe desire for their children and maybe even ways we can, in 2021, be stronger in the family unit.
So I think that young people in general, and again in general, but there's a hunger to be known. And often as grandparents and as fathers, because we do love our kids, and because they don't really know what they don't know, and because they do need advice, we very quickly move to advice giving. And there's absolutely a time and a place for that. But the point of challenge that I would have, and what I see as a point of need, is to really, really listen. And the fulfillment story that I just shared is a great place to do that, because there's so much that they can share. So it's to listen to that and put on the listener standpoint first before moving into advising mode. It's very, very easy for us to do that because we have a lot to share and a lot of good stuff to share. But what I would emphasize is listening first, and it's not just for the sake of affirming the person in their uniqueness. It's also for the sake of helping them recognize the kind of contribution that they can make and are hungry to make. So this sort of exercise is not simply, around making a person feel good and listen to and affirmed. That's profoundly valuable. But most often, these stories that I've described are also about how a person can really give in a way that's authentic. And when we as fathers and grandfathers can listen to a story, recognize the value that the person brings, but then also start to make connections with how that person can start to sacrifice their lives and love more and give more, then the story becomes about the community being built up and the person within it. So I guess listening first and then helping the person see some of the gifts that they have to offer.
Okay, Josh, when I'm getting near the end of my time, you've given us a ton to think about, a ton of actionable steps, which is appreciative. How can folks that are listening today connect with the things you're currently doing and even potentially some future projects you have?
Well, the website, www.inscapevocations.com, that's a site that Luke and I built to focus upon personal vocation. They can email me directly, just josh@inscapevocations.com. And then for some more information about the M-code, motivationcode.com is a place to go to. But I would be very eager to talk to folks about potential next steps because we really need to understand people's unique motivations as part of building up a culture of personal vocation. So the two are very interrelated.
Amen to that. Now, Joshua, anyone who comes into the foxhole, we ask them to pray us out. I want you to know, personally, I'm grateful for your friendship, and I'm grateful for the leadership you provide into the Church of the United States to dive deeply into story and into uniqueness of personal vocation. And I'm even more personally excited because I appreciate you calling folks to unique, authentic people rather than social media constructs. So I would ask you to pray us out of here. Be assured of our prayer. Be assured of the prayers of Capon's men and those listening. And then Scott will come in on the back end and kind of close up our call.
Sounds good. Let's pray together then. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we are so grateful to you for calling us to be members of the body of Christ right now at this time in history. It's a challenging time, Lord, but you want us here. Lord, we are also grateful that you actually give us the privilege of participating with you in salvation history, that you call us to write chapters in that story of salvation history, and that you so love us, Lord, that you give us that opportunity to work with you and in you and through you to build up the body. Lord, I ask right now that you would bless each person listening to this podcast, that you would help each person recognize more and more the unique dignity that you've called him or her to. Help each person to be grounded in the fact that you've called them by name. That you've called them by name, Lord, and that you have a work for him to do. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each person with more clarity and awareness of that, and the grace to seek it out if he doesn't know it, and to seek it out with confidence. Bless our conversation, Lord. Let it be for your glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Miller. It's great to have you here in the foxhole. I think the work that you do is oftentimes underappreciated, and especially in a world where there's so many possibilities and really so many competing messages for all of us. I know that you do work a lot with young people, and it's so easy for them to get lost in all of that. But honestly, I think it's true for all of us, and it's great that your message isn't just about individual pursuit of pleasure or happiness. It's really about helping us find the ways that we can best give back, that we can best serve. And that's a beautiful vision of the human person and our purpose in life. And I think that you succeeded in your goal of finding how your family's work fit in with the church and Catholic teaching. So that's good to hear. I'm also very grateful for you for giving us a very clear challenge for this week. And that's to dive into someone's fulfillment story, as you said. So, again, that task is to ask someone about three stories of things that they found fulfilling in their lives. And I hope I can summarize this well. Something that they did well, or something that they enjoyed doing, or something that they thought to them was performed successfully. And after they share that with you, to really ask them what they did to accomplish this, what their work was, what their part in that was. And then really, the challenge for us is to listen, to notice the points where they seem to be most excited, when their eyes lit up. And this challenge, I think, and to share that with them as well. And this challenge, as you said, it's great because it doesn't only build up someone else, but it helps them recognize their gifts, and it helps us grow, I think, as a community. And again, that's what Father Capon was about. That's what we're hoping to do with Capon's Men, and that's what we need more of in 2021, is that bringing of us all together, I think, a little bit more understanding and shared pursuit of the truth, I think, will be very helpful for all of us. Thank you to all of you who listened for kicking off your year with us. We've got another great slew of guests lined up for you to continue in 2021 to bring you the inspiration and encouragement that you need for the good work that you are doing. So thank you for joining us. We're excited to start this new year with you. And finally, just a reminder, give us a review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't yet. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Capon's Men, and share this with someone who you think might need it. You're all in our prayers, and until next time, stay humble, stay courageous, and may Father Capon pray for all of us.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.